Well, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 26 today. And as we are in Isaiah chapter 25 and 26, and we had Isaiah 25 the last time we were together in Isaiah. And this is a song. This is a song that begins in chapter 25 and talking about Jesus coming back and setting up his kingdom on the earth. And 26 continues the song. If we see in verse 1, it says, "In that day shall this song be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks." And so the walls to protect the city, the bulwarks, the strongholds to protect the strong city is actually his salvation. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks in this strong city. And so this chapter continues in the song about the second coming of Christ, the establishment of his kingdom in Jerusalem. Of course, Judah is the area in which Jerusalem resides. And this is a song to be sung in the land of Judah about the strong city, Jerusalem, and the blessings of the Lord upon it. Now, in contrast to verse 1, we read verse 5, for it says, "For he brings down them that dwell on high, the lofty city." So we have the strong city in verse 1 and the lofty or prideful city in verse 5. "He lays it low," the Bible says, and he repeats it again. "He lays it low, even to the ground, and brings it even to the dust." And this is referring to that lofty, prideful city of Babylon that's recorded in Revelation 17 and 18 during the tribulation period that we studied before. And I'll just go ahead and quote from scriptures in Revelation 18, verses 5 and 7, actually speaking about Babylon. "Her sins have reached unto heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. She has glorified herself and lives deliciously," which is a word to actually be translated also in a way that she wants to live, kind of in but in rebellion to God. "So much torment and sorrow give her, for she says in her heart, 'I sit a queen and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow.'" And so this is a very prideful city that we read about in Revelation 17 and 18, that God will bring down low, lay down low, even to the ground and to the dust. And so we see a mixed ministry here in chapter 26, and it is good that chapter 26 is separate from chapter 25, even though they're the same song. The monks put in the chapters and verses later, and we're looking now at the second half of this song, because in this chapter is a awesome group of scriptures that give us a lesson on how to maintain our peace. Maintain our peace in the Lord during troubled times. And we're told clearly in Timothy that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And we're experiencing these things even now in our nation. And we're seeing a prideful, prideful government lifted up above the things of the Lord. The Supreme Court making that decision just a few weeks ago to make homosexual marriage a good thing throughout the whole nation. And now we see a signing of a contract with Iran. And as Nancy Mako said last night, Obama signed a contract with the devil. Iran getting ready to attack Israel and talking terrible things about Israel and about us as the United States, and yet receiving a nuclear agreement with our leader. And so tough times, sad times, hard times for the heart. But you know what? God wants us to maintain our peace in Him. And so we're going to see in this chapter, which blew me away, really, and I'm so blessed to bring it to you. How to work on, how to be blessed with the peace of the Lord and peace in the Lord, given to us in three different sections here. In the beginning of the chapter, the middle of the chapter, the end of the chapter, concerning our present lives in the Lord, our past, and our future. These three things covered, connected with the peace of the Lord and maintaining that peace in our hearts. So with that introduction, let's go ahead and read verse 2. It says, "Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation who keeps the truth may enter in." And in the time that Jerusalem is there before the Lord at the second coming of Christ, this will be a righteous nation. All of Israel will be saved. And so Israel entering in, and all that have hearts for the Lord and have stood fast with Him in His attributes and in His statutes and judgments. Here upon the earth, as we're waiting for our Savior, we'll enter in. We'll enter in. And now we have this first lesson about peace in a very present way in our lives for whatever present thing steals our peace. And it says this, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." How big is his strength? How long is his strength? It's everlasting. Jesus said before he left the earth, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." And this is our God. This is our Savior. This is our Lord. He is Jehovah and has everlasting strength. Now, we read here in verse 3 again that we will be kept in perfect peace, if our minds are stayed on Him, looking to Him. Now, I want to talk about this perfect peace first. I read Dr. Morris a lot. He is a Hebrew scholar, and he says in his commentary on this, that this perfect peace is literally two Hebrew words that are the same. Shalom, shalom. And I remember Jonathan Katz, who used to come to our church a few years back. He was a Jewish man that had been saved. And he always greeted you with shalom, shalom. Two shaloms, not one, two. And that's what we have in the Hebrew here in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Shalom, shalom. Can we say that together? Shalom, shalom. And this is, in definition, according to Dr. Morris, this is peace which passes all understanding. It's not just peace, it's perfect peace. It's not just shalom, it's shalom, shalom. A peace that passes all understanding of any circumstances that you might face in your life. This verse is lifted up again in the New Testament in Philippians 4:7. You're probably familiar with that if you've been reading the Bible for a while. Philippians 4:7, that God will bless us and guard our hearts and minds with peace that passes understanding, all understanding. We're not to be people that are under the circumstances. How are you? I'm okay under the circumstances. No, we're to be above the circumstances with a peace that passes any understanding that we would get from how horrible things look. It's a peace that's different from the world and the world cannot give. And so it is something that is here for us, and God wants us to learn about it. This is our first lesson today, how to face the present fears or circumstances is to actually keep our minds stayed on Him, learn how to give it to the Lord. Learn how to turn it over to Jesus and accept the peace that will rise in our hearts as that happens. Now I'd like to turn with you in the New Testament to Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 on this subject. And Romans chapter 5 verse 1 kind of sums up chapter 4, which teaches us that the just shall live by faith. And it says, therefore, being justified, never sinned, by faith, we have, we're in possession of, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus gave up his life on the cross for us to die for our sins, we have this now tremendous peace with God. Before we were enemies with him, we were at enmity with him, or strife with the Lord, separated from God. But because of what Christ did to bridge the gap, to set down the bridge over troubled waters, we now have peace with God. It's been taken care of through the Lord Jesus Christ. This glorious, wonderful peace with the Lord, shalom, with our God and our Savior. Now, Jesus actually spoke about peace before he left the earth. And he said this very wonderfully to you and I and to all the disciples in John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. I'm going away. It is expedient or best for you that I go away, because if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit won't come. But if I go away, the Holy Spirit will be sent back to you. Now, the Holy Spirit actually can be dwelling in people all around the world at the same time and listening to prayers at the same time in Russia and America, where Jesus never got more than 300 miles from where he was born when he was here. So it was best for him to die, to send back the Holy Spirit that could reach far further than Jesus himself in the bodily form. That's why he said, it's best for you, it's expedient for you that I go away and send back the Holy Ghost. So each one of us have that personal indwelling of Jesus himself through the power of the Holy Spirit, who is one with Jesus and one with the Father. And I and my Father will come and make our dwelling place with you, he said. And the Holy Spirit shall be with you and shall be in you. And these are glorious promises. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. It's a gift. It's something we don't earn. It's a gift of God. Shalom, shalom. Perfect peace is abiding with us when we think about him, because it's a gift from him. He's left it with us. He's given it to us. And he says, not as the world gives, I give it to you. Now, the world's peace is dependent upon circumstances. That's what makes the world's peace different. If it's 70 degrees and the surf is perfect and you're in the right place to do it and you can still do it, that will bring the peace of the world. But if the circumstances don't allow for that, that's when God's peace takes over, because the circumstances aren't fitting for you. You're not happy and blessed in the worldly sense, but you're happy and blessed with God's peace. It passes the understanding, all understanding. And this is what he wants to give. Now, the next thing he says in this verse, John 14, 27, is really to speak of not just the peace with God, but the peace of God. And it, he says this, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. It becomes a struggle of faith to believe God at those moments when you need his peace and you don't have it, to just stop and begin to look to Him. And He will bring the gift. He has left it for you, and He will bring it as you simply refuse to let your heart be troubled. So you know what? I'm going to encourage myself in the Lord instead of accept this lack of peace. And I am going to talk to Him, and I am going to look to Him, and I am going to spend time with Him, and I'm going to keep my mind stayed upon Him. And the peace begins to rise because He's left it and He's given it as a gift. And it is not the peace of the world, but it's a peace that can fill you to overflowing, even though the even those are around and the going south is happening and everything that can go wrong is going wrong. But the Lord is there and His peace abides with us. So this is a tremendous thing, and it is a strong lesson from Isaiah chapter 26 verse 3 for us to abide in, to keep our mind on Him. Take your mind off of the circumstances and put them on Jesus. Look to the Lord and allow Him to bless you with this gift, and not allowing your heart to be troubled. You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. Just mentioned Iran. We know Iran is going to attack Israel. Why in the world are we making nuclear agreements with them? They're going to attack Israel. This is recorded clearly in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, along with Russia and other Muslim countries. They will attack Israel. We know that to be true. And so, this idea then just wants to overwhelm us. But in a way, it's exciting, because actually when they do attack Israel, they're going to lose. And that's the beginning of the end of the whole deal. And the rapture will happen either just before that or maybe during that time of that attack. Our entrance into heaven and seeing Jesus face to face is just a moment away at any time. Everything that has to be fulfilled before the rapture of the church has already been fulfilled. It's time for the rapture at any time. We could go right now and it would fit into Bible prophecy absolutely 100% perfectly. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Yeah, amen. Lord, we clap to You. Thank You, Jesus. We're looking for that day. So, in the meantime, in the present, the Lord does really desire for you to look to Him when the peace wants to leave. Well, I have a vacation experience to share with you. And you know, it's good to share and to teach in stories. I've been put down for that in the past, but I'm refusing that, because Jesus spoke in parables. And what's a parable, ladies and gentlemen, I ask you? It's a story. It's a story about our society and the things that go on in our society. And He would use agrarian stories to make spiritual points. So I want to share with you a story. Sherry and I and the little grandchild were on the boat, and they took us way out deep in the water. And it was time to jump in the water with our snorkels and our masks and our fins. And we lost Sherry. And Mitchell and I were out at the lifeguard area. He was on a surfboard. And I said, "Mitchell, have you seen Nani?" And he said, "No, I haven't seen her." And she hadn't really checked in with us. We didn't know where she was. And I started to get that little din-din-din-din, "Moody river, your muddy water took my baby's life." You know, it's an old song. The people from the 1960s, which are less and less, will understand. But anyway, so that started in my heart. I was really tired of snorkeling. I'm thinking, how tired must Sherry be? So me and Mitchell headed back to the boat. We got on the boat and I started scanning out there to see if I could find my wife. She was gone. I could not locate her. And as time went on, you know, these feelings begin to rise, and I could feel the panic and the screaming and running around the boat stuff coming. It was getting higher, and just searching and searching, and people after a long period of time began to come back to the boat. It's getting towards the time we're going to leave, and there's less and less people in the water. And so I'm looking for Sherry, and I can't find her, and I can't find her, and I can't find her. And I went up on top of the boat, and I'm looking and staring and trying to find her, but she wasn't there. So I went to the guy in charge, and I said, my wife has disappeared. She's not here with us. And so he right away said, now calm down. Everybody looks the same in a snorkel and mask. And, you know, she's probably out there. The lifeguard's still there. She'll be along. And I go, okay, calm down. But it just got worse and worse. You know, I just was beginning to just feel that old feeling of when I freak out. And I said, I actually asked him a dumb question. I said, if my wife died out there, would she sink? What a question to ask somebody, you know. But I was just wondering, you know, what this is going to be like. It was horrible. And so it's getting worse and worse. And so this man, praise God, using psychology, had a good answer for me. He said, you need to walk around the boat and take one more look if she's on the boat, and I'll watch out for her here. For as I turned and went to do that one last stretch of the boat to see if I could find her, the Lord spoke to me. He said, Mark, remember me. Look to me. Start, you know, staying your mind on me. And I began to look to the Lord and just say, oh, Lord God, please, Lord, just be with Sherry wherever she is, and bring her back soon and get this thing over with. And just looking to the Lord. And, you know, I could feel it. And you identify with me. I know you've been here. That the panic begins to subside. And by a gift and a leaving that Jesus did, he left his peace here with us. And he gives it to us as a gift, even though the circumstances are scary. And I began to feel the peace coming up in my heart. And I made that one loop around the boat, and there's Sherry standing there, dripping wet, and just happy as a clam at high tide. And you're thinking, where was she? Say that with me. Where was she? What was she doing? Well, when we anchored the boat, it was far out to sea. They actually were on the radio about it. They had to anchor it further out than usual. But she remembered from many years ago where the grandfather turtle lives. And it's close to shore. And so she took off with her fins and her mask and her snorkel and just booked it in to find the grandfather turtle. So I have a picture. She found him. That's the big dude right there. And she actually took that picture with her iPhone. Can you believe it? You can take your iPhone into the water and take pictures of giant turtles. And I was amazed with that. It's the latest deal with a cover. Yeah, be sure to put a cover on. You got to plug up all the oracles, or whatever they're called, orifices, all of those things, and you can take the picture. So she very simply just took off to find Grandfather Turtle, and so it was about a quarter of a mile swim. Now, she had no flotation. She was just Superwoman with her little camera, and she was able to do that, but she ended up back on the boat, and of course then the peace came to a full crescendo of blessing. But each one of you can identify, I'm sure, with a situation like this, and how the Lord really wants us to remember. He wants to give us a lesson. He wants to instruct us that he will keep those in perfect peace, shalom shalom, whose minds are stayed on him. Always look to the Lord. always remember the Lord and look to Him, and He can help you in maintaining your peace. No matter what you hear on the news, no matter what's coming down, and the peace will begin to rise in your heart. And as you know, you commit your way unto the Lord, and He will bring it to pass. And He works with us, and no matter what the circumstances are, whatever operation I have to face, any trial is, and even through those times of persecution and those times of temptation when I'm trying to resist sin. I'd like to give you scripture on that before we leave this first lesson of peace. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. And we have this connection right away with Isaiah 26:3, where it says, looking unto Jesus. The first three words we read, starting in verse 2 of chapter 12 of Hebrews, is looking unto Jesus, having our minds stayed upon Him, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider Him. And this Greek word for consider is to think within a meditative type way. Really settle down in your spirit to put your mind on the Lord. To consider Him. Not just, oh yeah, I'll just think about the Lord real quick. No, this is not an arrow type thing. It's a thing that takes meditation. It takes effort in the faith of the Lord to encourage myself in Him, to speak to myself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, and going ahead and considering the Lord. For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, for this reason, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds. You want to have your mind stayed on Him. You don't want to faint in your mind. Men should never faint, but pray. Should always pray and not faint. And so this is a real encouragement and lesson about peace, maintaining our peace, to consider Him, looking unto Jesus. And on those weary Monday mornings when you can't drag your carcass out of bed to face another day at the bad job, you're just weary. I am weary of this. And I want to faint in my mind. Just look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Put your mind on Him. Allow Him to give you His endless power. All power has been given to me in heaven and earth, as we quoted earlier. He is the Lord Jehovah of strength. He has much power and strength, and He imparts that to the weary. Those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as eagles. They shall walk and not be weary. They shall run and not faint. Teach me, Lord, how to wait. And then it says in verse 4, you have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. In those times of temptation, Jesus was sorely tempted, even to blood. He sweat the great drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, thinking about the cross. And then He said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done, Father. He strove against the sin of wanting to resist the cross, even unto blood. And so we consider Him. We consider our Savior. We consider His sacrifice. We consider His strength that He can impart to us in such a time that we need. And we look to Him. We consider Him. We set our minds and stay our minds on Him. Lesson number one about the present and whatever present thing you might face. You know, I'd like to just give you an opportunity at this time right now. Let's just take a few seconds. And if there's something that's just robbing your peace, it's just driving you crazy, receive some peace right now and just look to Jesus and trust Him and consider Him and just give it over to Him. Okay, let's just take a few seconds to do that about whatever might be in your mind. Thank you, Lord. So thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your peace, the gift that you left for us. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let's go on back to Isaiah now. We want to look at the second thing that can help you to maintain your peace. And so we go to Isaiah and begin reading at verse 6 because we read the first five verses already. So chapter 26, verse 6. Now it's talking about this city that's going to be laid low, and it says the foot shall tread upon it down. The foot shall tread it down, even the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. That's interesting. This is really a verse that parallels the meek shall inherit the earth. The humble of heart are the ones that are actually going to inherit the terra firma of the earth. And that would include the poor in spirit. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. And blessed, yes, in many cases, the people that have no money. Because we've been oppressed by the rich and by the powerful and by those that have made money by ill means and kind of rule the world. So the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy will be the ones that actually will tread down these lofty cities and inherit the earth. A good thought as we stay with the Lord and keep our ways honest before God and before people. The way of the just is uprightness, verse 7. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. Yes, in the way of thy judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you. The desire of our soul is to your name and to the remembrance of you. With my soul have I desired you in the night. Yea, with my spirit within me will I seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. Righteousness will be taught by Jesus himself. And we will say, we won't have to say every man shall know the Lord, for every man will know the Lord, because the Lord will be ruling the earth with a rod of iron, and righteousness will be taught and learned in the world when Jesus comes. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. There are certain folks here upon the earth, no matter what you do, you can stand on your head until your face is turning red, and they will not learn any righteousness. And it's because they've chosen to go the wicked way. In the land of uprightness, will that person deal unjustly? They're just looking to make their buck, and they don't care who they step on. God knows this. God does not shut his eyes to this. Though hand join in hand, the wicked will not go unpunished. And it's the truth of it. And we can expect it to come to pass. He will not behold the majesty of the Lord. Lord, when your hand is lifted up, they will not see. They're blind to the things of God. Even though God's hand is lifted up, they will not see. But they shall see. The scripture says that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord to the glory of the Father. One day, when the Lord establishes his kingdom, those that decide to go the wicked way and remain in the wicked way, they shall see. But it'll be too late. And they'll be ashamed, it says here, for their envy at the people of God that they envied. We're told in the scriptures that Pontius Pilate knew that for envy they delivered up Jesus to be crucified. They were green with jealousy because Jesus was so popular and so blessed and went about doing good. They'll be ashamed of that one day as every knee bows and every tongue confesses. Yes, the fire of your enemies shall devour them. When folks plot and plan against you, maybe on your job because you're a Christian and they've been calling you the Rev, or they've been saying, wipe that stupid grin off your face, all you Christians are the same, that kind of thing, and they plot and plan against you, the very things that they plot and plan will come back upon them. This is what this scripture is saying. The fire of your enemies shall devour them. Now, in verse 12 is our second thought about peace and how we can maintain that. It says, Lord, you will ordain peace for us, for thou hast wrought or worked all our works in us. Everything that's happened in our past, that's good. Every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no shadow of turning. And he blesses you and I with wonderful events in our lives that as we stop and think about it and remember what God has done, it's therapeutic for you to remember. In the Old Testament, they always remembered the Red Sea. Oh yeah. Remember when God opened the sea for us? And even in the generations as you go through the Old Testament that weren't there when the Red Sea was open, they remember the Red Sea and refer it to happening to them themselves because it happened to their relatives. But remembering God's mighty hand as he opened the sea. In the New Testament, we remember the cross. We remember the cross which the Red Sea pointed to. Because we're told in the New Testament that actually the opening of the sea was a baptism. A baptism in the sea, it says, and a baptism in the cloud, which is the direction of God for our lives. And so we look back to the cross. What did Jesus do there? He established us. He strengthened us and settled us through forgiveness of sin. He brought peace with God and grants to us the peace of God. And we're so thankful to him, and we remember and we take communion as a memorial service from time to time to remember what God has done. And we're blessed and ordained with peace in doing that. How peaceful is it to take communion, to take the cup, to eat the bread, to remember the Lord's death on the cross, to show the Lord's death until he comes. We're remembering, and the peace comes upon us in ordination from God. So let me say this about that then. Number one, in your present situation, you look to Jesus. In your working with the Lord to maintain peace through your past, you remember what God has done. You just simply remember what he's done before. Can he get me out of this? Yeah. Remember what he did and how he got me through this. I always think about seventh grade and being in 14-foot waves at the Huntington Beach Pier. That I always go back to that in my mind. I was just a fat seventh grader. I was 137 pounds. I was only 5'1". I grew 5 inches in 1 year, and I lost the baby fat. But it was just a horrible place to be when you're a little tub and in these giant 14-foot waves because they called me a chicken. And my board went all the way into shore. It was before the leash or the rubber band that's attached to boards so they can spring back and hit you in the head. And I was out there a million miles out, it seemed to me, and these waves were huge. And I started to panic. Lose my control. And I cried out to Jesus Christ. And the Lord put me on a sandbar, and the water came down to my waist, which wasn't very far because I was really short. And I received this peace that I can't explain. A peace that passes understanding. that he left for me, as we're reading today in the scriptures, and he gave to me as a gift. He saved my life that day. And I remember that. And what does that do for me? That gives me extreme peace. That blesses my soul. And I feel like I can face Goliath or anything because of what God did and God is there to do. Remember, remember what God did. Remember. Let's take some seconds to do that, okay? Think of something in your mind right now as we just close our eyes for a second about what God has done for you in the past. Just enjoy that. Let's just do that. Thank you, Father. Thank you so much, Lord. God, bring peace to your people even today, Lord. Praise God. Well, let's go on now, and we want to talk about the future. So it says in verse 13, O Lord God, our lords besides you have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of your name. Another translation puts it this way, your name alone do we honor. You have a lot of presidents that go by. You have a lot of mayors that go by. You have a lot of bosses that might go by in your life. But the one you really honor is the Lord. And you do your best to just do what you can to be the best person you can be under the different sources of authority that you have. But when there are evil ones, and there will be evil ones that are in your lifetime, we have many lords that have had dominion over us, but Lord, it's only you that we really honor. They are dead. Where's Hitler today? Where's Saddam Hussein today? They are dead. They shall not live. They are deceased. They shall not rise. Therefore hast thou visited and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Now this is talking about the nation of Israel. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far unto all the ends of the earth. Oh, how Israel is thriving today. Israel is thriving today. Their economy is good. It is strong. And they are a strong nation. And very frankly, the nations around Israel are green with envy. And again, we see this word envy, as we just mentioned before in the scriptures, that you're just envious. That place used to be a desert over there, just a great big sandbox. And the Israelis were brought home by God, and they began to plant trees, and they planted over 2 million trees now. And actually in Israel, there are more plants and different plant lives in Israel than any other place in the world. That's what I was told on the last tour by the guide. And you can see it, you can feel it. The place is blessed. When Sherry and I stayed in a hotel with others on the Mediterranean Sea, we were on the 11th floor, and we woke up in the morning and we looked out our window over the Mediterranean, and there was a rainbow beginning in the ocean and reaching out over the land, the promised land. And it was just, I got Holy Ghost goosebumps, man. It says, this is the promised land. God is blessing this country, this place, far unto all the ends of the earth. And when Jesus comes, the seat of power will be in Jerusalem. And people of all nations and tribes and kindreds will come every year at the Feast of Tabernacles to hear Jesus teach. And so this will be fulfilled completely. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. Talking about the people now, they poured out a prayer when your chastening was upon them, this nation of Israel, and also each one of us. When we're in trouble, what do? We pray. We look to the Lord. Like as a woman with child that draws near the time of her delivery is in pain and cries out in her pangs, oh, have we been in thy sight, O Lord? We have been with child. We have been in pain. we have, as it were, brought forth wind. When we consider the situation in the earth, we're like a woman in labor, just going, Lord, oh God, when are you going to finish this thing? It's getting so bad. What happened to Beaver Cleaver on TV? Billy Graham said at the inauguration of Bill Clinton, he said, you have sown to the wind, you're going to reap the whirlwind. And so as it is, we have brought forth wind. We have not worked any deliverance in the earth. Humanism does not get it. Education doesn't get it. Science does not get it. There's no deliverance for this world through the human arm. We have not worked any deliverance in the earth. Neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen, which a better translation. We have not given birth to the people of the earth. It's you, Lord, that's given birth to the people of the earth. You're the only one that can deliver this place. And we're looking to you. Now, at this point then, God gives a future here. And if anyone ever asks you, where is the resurrection in the Old Testament? You just simply tell him the next verse. Chapter 26 of Isaiah, verse 19. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Boy, that's clear, isn't it? Who's this talking? Jesus. My dead body. He was dead for 3 days as a doornail. And on the third day, he rose again. And I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. And you ask me how I know he's living? It's because he lives in me. Your dead men shall live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, you that dwell in the dust. For your dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. And so this is the promise of the resurrection. This is the promise of our living forever. And now in verse 20, the Lord speaks about the rapture of the church, and that's our future. And anyone that can't receive peace in this, there's something really wrong. But as we read these scriptures right now, come, my people. Enter thou into your chambers, or another translation, into your rooms. In the New Testament, they're called dwelling places or tabernacles. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. So come, come, my people. Enter into your chambers, your rooms that are prepared for you. Shut the doors behind you. Be really safe and sound. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. What's the indignation? What does God want us to miss? It's the tribulation period. Verse 21. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. So the Lord, in his indignation or his wrath, will judge this earth during those 7 years of tribulation. But the church will be protected and will be loved and honeymooned with Jesus Christ in heaven. Revelation 4:1. So I heard a voice behind me like a trumpet, and it sounded and it said this, come up here, come up here. Come, my people, enter into your chambers, into your rooms, until the indignation or the tribulation or the wrath of God be overpassed. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So here's our future. And does that bring peace? Yea and amen. Let's go. Let's just go. And as we dwell on the second coming of Christ and the rapture of the church, when the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that are remain and still alive shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It says, comfort, comfort ye, my people. Comfort one another with these words, is what it says. So this is to be a comfort, a peace giver to you. So here we have, amongst all this bad news that we have in Isaiah, there is this beautiful, beautiful chapter of lessons on peace. How to maintain our peace in the present by looking to Jesus. Considering our past, remember what God has done already. And looking forward to our beautiful future with the Lord. I always like to think it's like a game that's already been played and you're watching the rerun. And USC won 7-0. Or UCLA, whichever way you go. But Tim and I and Bill, we love USC. Sorry. But isn't it something to watch a game that's already been played? You know who won. So you can kick back and relax and eat your popcorn when it gets tense. Because you know who wins in the end. You already know the score. The field goal was kicked in that last play that won the game. And this is what God gives us in Isaiah. Some folks try to tell us that the rapture was made up a few decades ago. This was written 700 years before Christ was even born. And we see the rapture clearly. Can you not see the rapture in verse 20? Can you not see it clearly? There it is. And the Lord will come. And our future is bright. And this brings great peace, considering our future. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. So, Father, thank you for glorious chapters like this in your word. How much fun it is to study this and to teach it and to receive it and to dwell upon it, Lord. It takes those petty little problems and swoops them away. We're so thankful, Lord. Lord, we just want to walk with you and talk with you, be concerned about your things and dwelling among those, Lord, that just lift you up. And Father, help our number to grow, Father, of those that are now wicked, that can be converted and changed and born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. Bring sweet revival to our nation, Lord. Turn us back again, Lord, to you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the prayer room's open for you. Brian just made sure of that. It's a very inviting place. You can come and get prayer for whatever you need. And God bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace. Peace like a river. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.